Hallelujah. Man, this is a great day to be alive. Man, how many of you guys thankful to be here today? How many of you rather be here than the best jail in town? The best hospital in town. So good to be in the house of the Lord, and we just want to honor the angels of the house, Pastor Freddie and Terilyn Minifield. They're just, listen, when Jesus ascended on high, gave gifts to men. How many of you know when Jesus gives gifts, they're the best? And he gave you guys the best, and these guys are the real deal, and we just want to honor them and thank God for our covenant relationship with them. So let's give our pastors a good hand. Amen. Appreciate you guys. All right, you can be seated. Okay, we do have a few resources back there. I've got my newest book, Flowing in the Supernatural, and this is a powerful book that basically just talks about how to flow in the supernatural, how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, but do it in order. And there's a couple of chapters in here that's worth the price of the book, just how to judge a prophetic word. How to make sure you've got to judge a prophetic word so it doesn't become a pathetic word, right? How do you receive a prophet? And then how many of you know the Lord will, I've got a chapter in here about the Lord will show us things to come. Now, he'll show us things to come positive, okay, what God has planned for us. But do you know that the Holy Spirit will also show us things negative, what the enemy has planned? Not so that we resign to that and accept that, but so that we can stop it, avert it, or avoid it. Did you know that? Absolutely. And a lot of Christians don't know it. The Holy Spirit starts dealing with you, giving you a foreboding feeling, you know, and sense, like happened to 20,000 people on 9/11 who didn't show up for work. Did you know there were supposed to be at least 20,000 more people that normally would have shown up for work that didn't even show up for work that day? Did you know there were only 16 people on one of the planes that went down? Why do you think that is? Because the Holy Spirit's showing us things to come. And somebody needs to get the book just for that. Come here, brother. Now, remind me of your name. Eddie, this is for you. All right, praise God. Eddie is you're an amazing servant, sir. And you're faithful. And God says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he adds ability to faithfulness. He doesn't add faithfulness to ability. He adds ability to faithfulness. So God's increasing your ability, sir. And he just wants you to know that his pleasure is over your life. And I just bless you, man, in Jesus' name. This is just my book, Scriptures to Live By. It's got categories of Scripture. If you want to look a category of Scripture up, if you want to find out about childbearing, child deliverance, well, not deliverance, but delivery. Get them married. That's how you you get delivered. You get them married. You get them married. Oh man, emergencies. There's all kinds of categories of Scripture in here. Healing, long life. Do you know there are a lot of Scriptures on long life? Praise God. So can I give this to you, sir? Yeah. All right. Praise God. All right. Open your Bibles wherever you'd like. I'm going to be in Jeremiah 29. Be in Jeremiah chapter 29, but I'm going to tell you a funny verse. Is that okay? So this is called Kids in Church. So 3-year-old Reese was heard praying, "Our Father, who does art in heaven, Harold is his name." A little boy was overheard praying, "Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time just like I am." I've been teaching my 4-year-old daughter, Caitlin, the Lord's Prayer for several evenings at home. She would repeat the lines of the prayer. Finally, she decided to go solo. And I listened with pride as she carefully enunciated each word right up to the end of the prayer. "Lead us not into temptation," she replied, "but deliver us from email." Yeah, praise God. Clean out my inbox, please. And one 4-year-old prayed, "And forgive us our trash baskets, as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets." That's funny. 6-year-old Angie and her 4-year-old brother, Joel, were sitting together in church, and Joel giggled, talked out loud. Finally, his sister had enough. "You're not supposed to talk out loud in church," she said. "Why? Who's going to stop me?" said Joel. Angie pointed to the back of the church and he said, "You see those two men standing by the door? They're hushers." I'll just tell you a couple more. These are funny. A mother was preparing pancakes for her sons, Kevin, age 5, Ryan, age 3. The boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. Their mother saw the opportunity for a moral lesson. "If Jesus were sitting here," she said, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait." Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, "Ryan, you be Jesus." Okay, well, one more. This is really funny. So after the dedication of his baby brother in church, Jason sobbed all the way home in the back seat of the car. His father asked him 3 times what was wrong. Finally, the boy replied, "That preacher said he wanted us to be brought up in a Christian home, and I wanted to stay with you guys." Oh, man, that is too funny. That is too funny. Okay, so Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. You know, we hear this verse, you know, preached and ministered at graduations, and people, this is one of their favorite verses, and I've just been, this has just been a word that's in my heart, and I've been sharing with the church, the last churches that I'm in relationship with the last few weeks and months, and I haven't been able to get away from it. So it said that, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Everybody say a future and a hope. And so how many of you know that we've come out of a year that was pretty challenging? And with all the COVID pandemic and election upheaval and media things and all kinds of, you know, challenges and adjustments to life and school schedules and work schedules and all kinds of stuff. I mean, we could reflect back on last year, and thank God we're moving into a new year. And God's, the point I want to bring across is that God has got a great future for you. That COVID can't stop. That 2020 cannot hinder. That God's got a plan for you. He's got a future for you. He's got a hope for you. Are you hearing me? Look at your neighbor and say, "He's talking to you." I think you really believe he's talking to you. And this is the truth that we need to hear in spite of what we've come through and what we've dealt with and what we've come, you know, looks like in the natural we're coming out of some things. But the bottom line is, guys, you know, we can end up looking in the back and living in the rear view mirror. And it can ruin our expectation of what God has for us. And God said, no, I don't care what's happened in the past. He said, it hasn't changed my plan for you. I've got a hope for you. I've got a future for you. Yes? And, you know, this is truth that we need to hear and we need to meditate on. And, you know, I really... that this is really strong in my heart, that we need to learn that God's got a good plan for our lives. And your future consists of thoughts that you haven't thought yet, words you haven't spoken yet, actions you haven't taken yet, and circumstances that you haven't experienced yet. And you can control 3 out of 4 of those. Are you hearing me? So here's my question. How are your thoughts, your words, and your actions preparing you for your future? Because God's got a plan for you, Word Life Church. Individually, but also corporately, He's got a plan for us. Amen? How many of you want to move into that plan? How many of you want to walk in that plan? How many of you ever seen the movie Groundhog Day? Have y'all seen that movie? Remember Bill Murray was the jerk in the movie? He was the TV guy that went to whatever the name of that town was in Pennsylvania. They were going to look for the groundhog's shadow, and he went up there and he was, you know, condescending and rude to people and just narcissistic and you know, he went through the day and he didn't care about people and he just focused on himself, self-centered guy. And then he woke up the next morning in the same day. Y'all remember that? Okay, and her, listening to Sonny and Cher singing I Got You, Babe. And, you know, he woke up in that day and he responded first in shock. Then he responded in self-indulgence. Remember, he just ate everything that he could get his... put into his mouth. Then he responded in depression and giving up on life. And then you know, every day, but he'd wake up the next day, and he was in the same day. And then he responded with a self improvement, learning Russian and ice sculpting and those kind of things. And then finally he had some kind of an epiphany or revelation that caused him to realize what life was all about. Well, since I know what's going to happen in the next day, then I see there's negative things that's going to impact people, then I can prevent that. And when he gave himself to better people because to serve other people, he moved into the next day. Are you hearing me? And guys, God... Matthew 12:35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. What are you bringing forth that's going to move you into your future? And there are people that are stuck like Chuck in a groundhog day of their own making because of circumstances that have happened, because of somebody said something or did something wrong to them, and you know, they're just stuck there. But God's bringing me with the word today to get a crowbar and get you out of your groundhog day. Amen? So, how many of you want to move into your future? And so, that's just simply what I want to talk to you about. How to move into your future. And so, the first thing is, there's 4 questions I want to ask. First of all, is what are you seeking? Number one, what are you seeking? Look back at Jeremiah 29. In verse 11, it says, God, we know that He knows the future that he has for us. But then look at verse 12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. If when you search for me with all your heart, then I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I'll bring you back from your captivity. So everybody say this with me. What are you seeking? So if what you're seeking has to do with plans that you've made with your natural understanding, if it's what you're leaning to here, the gray matter between your ears, if what you're seeking is just what you want or what somebody else wants for your life, if you're not seeking the will of God, guys, you can't get into your future. You've got to be seeking God. In order to seek God, you have to lay aside your plans. You have to lay aside what your flesh wants. You've got to basically come to the Lord and say, God, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'll obey you. I'll follow you. God, I'm with you. We're gonna accomplish some significant things together. Amen. And you know, but you can't even begin to discover your future until you start seeking the Lord. And in order to seek the Lord, you got to stop. You got to lay aside all of your plans, all of your schemes, all of your dreams, and say, God, I'm yours. I belong to you. I lived my own life, even though I was a Christian. The first 3 years of my Christian life, I did my own thing. I was doing God's will, singing with Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. And you can't accomplish God's will your way. And in order to move into your future, you've got to lay aside some things, my brother and sister. You've got to remove the buts and the nevers out of your life. Well, God, I'll go anywhere, but I'm, you know, Lord, I'll do anything, but, you know, I'll never fall in love again, or I'll never get married again, or I'll never go into ministry, or I'll never do this, or I'll never do that, or I'll never trust, you know, another pastor or leader again. Listen, guys, that's faulty thinking, and it's hindering you. You're shooting yourself in the foot. You can't get into your next day. But when you're trying to protect yourself from the last one, and the reason why you had that problem back there anyway was because you hadn't even begun to seek the Lord yet. Are you hearing me? God's got a plan for your life if you'll seek Him, okay, and then get rid of all the buts and the nevers. Everybody say, I'm a good sheep. Everybody say, bah, I'm a good sheep. Say, I'm not a goat. You know what goats do, don't you? They butt. I love my pastor, but. I love my wife, but. I believe by His stripes I'm healed, but. Whatever's on the other end of your butt is what you really believe. Are you hearing me? And we have all these things, guys, nevers and buts, that are in the way of the will of God. And you know, I'm sorry for what's happened in the past to you. I'm sorry about, you know, somebody that did you wrong, or, you know, hurt you, or, you know, you went through a divorce, or you went through, I don't know what you've gone through, but God knows. But you can't get into your next day singing with Paul McCartney, yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Or you're singing with Barbra Streisand, The Way We Were. Guys, we've got to, I want to sing The Best Is Yet to Come. God's got a new day for us. He's got new things for us to do. Man, I just hear Lisa, she went over to South Africa and it wasn't even open. And she went and she got back home. And Sean still has a wife. It's not stuck over, you know. But God put it in her heart. And they were in agreement. Listen, Guys, God's got adventures, kingdom adventures for you. Man, you're not too old. Are you listening to me? You know, you're not too old. You're not too young. And you just need to, God, I'm going to, listen, you've got a plan for my life. And I'm going to go. I'm going to seek you. Amen? And you can't, look, the question is, what are you seeking? Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. But you can't seek God having buts and nevers. And if you guys would get them out of the way, I could go to the next point. No, I'm not joking. I'm not playing a game here. Okay? There's somebody that's got their butt in the way. Somebody's got a never. And, you know, I'm just going to be bold enough to say there's someone here. You need to let yourself be planted in the house of the Lord. Okay, I'm sorry you've been through a bad experience with a pastor or a church, but the church is God's plan. And you can't move into your future isolating yourself. You've got to be a part of the local church. Janice and I go to are members of a local church. And we travel a lot, but we still go to local church. Well, yeah, but there's no perfect churches. I know, when you get there, not especially. Look at your other neighbor and say, I know he's talking about you now. Oh, man. Oh, Jesus. I love what I do. It's awesome. But no, listen, guys, I really want to move to the next point, and I'm just going to spend more time on these first two points than the last two that I have. But the issue is, I'm hearing the Lord appealing to you through my heart today. Will you seek me and lay aside all the buts and the nevers, and will you just say, Lord, I'm all in. I need local church. I'm just going to trust you again. See, you can't protect yourself by yourself. You can't protect yourself from your heart being hurt. Okay? The Lord will heal your heart, guys. But in Hebrews chapter 12, it says if you've been lame or you've been wounded, you know, in the house of your friends, it said, don't let that which is lame, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, don't let that which is lame become dislocated. Listen, I'm sorry that happened, but Jesus is the healer of the broken heart. And let me tell you something. The devil uses people, yeah, but so does the Lord. And we need the body of Christ, and we need one another. And there's a place for you in the body, and I believe God's calling someone here that's been isolated. Or I wouldn't be just, I'm not manipulating, I'm not twisting anybody's arm, I'm just hearing the Holy Spirit say, would you say this for me? Because this is the reason why you're in your Groundhog Day. You're in a Groundhog Day of your own making. And you're not able to move into your future because you're refusing to trust the Lord to plant you in the house of the Lord. And I'm just calling you out of that place of being stuck. And I'm calling you into a place of letting God connect you. Amen? Just let him. Can we trust the Lord? Can we trust him to connect us where he wants us? Amen. Praise God. So what are you seeking? And then number two, what are you seeing? What are you seeing? Look at Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15. And this is a story of Abraham. And the first verse, the first three words says, after these things. And we're going to come back and look at that. After, everybody say, after these things. So after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. That's interesting, isn't it? The word of the Lord came to him in a vision. So this was really in pre-incarnate Jesus. The word of the Lord, Jesus, came to him in a vision. And saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? And then, you know, essentially what here's what's happening. God promised to give Abraham his own seed, and it hasn't happened now in approximately 15 years since he spoke to him. Okay? And now he's saying, okay, I'm willing to let Eleazar be the heir of my house. And then look at verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir. And this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body will be your heir. And then he brought him outside. Everybody say outside. So, see, what did he do? It was like all the press of everything that he was seeing in his circumstances was limiting his vision. He said, come on outside of all the circumstances you see, and I want you to lift up your eyes from the place that you are, because I've got better things for you. Amen? And then he said, he brought him outside, and then he said, now look toward heaven and count the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be, or your seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So here's the deal. All these things was a lot of things that had happened, okay? First of all, Abraham had incomplete obedience. God told him to get out from the Ur of Chaldees. He went to Haran. He spent enough years there to get servants and stuff until his father died. And that was only two-thirds of the way into or three-quarters of the way into where he was supposed to go. Then he finally obeys God, goes into Canaan. God visits him. He builds an altar. And then you can read it in Genesis 13. I'm just, for sake of time, it says he went on still. The father of our faith. First of all, he didn't obey perfectly, and then it said he went on still. He went on into Egypt. It gives me hope. How many of you have started out following the Lord and then stopped and then didn't do it perfectly? And then how many of you went on beyond what God told you to do? Thank God for one honest person. I'm going to have an altar call for liars for the rest of you. I mean, and then our honorable father, Abraham, father of our faith, laid his wife's neck on the line. Yeah. Then he comes back and he has relationship conflict with Lot. Then he has warfare trying to, you know, get him out of the kings that had taken him. And then he had to leave money on the table that could have been construed as a bribe. And then he tithed. And then not only that, then it was been 15 years since the time that God promised him that. And after all these things, Abraham's saying, look, God, I'm not so much disappointed in you. I'm just disappointed in me. And just the time, amount of time it's been. And he said, you know, let Eleazar, he'll be my heir. And God said, no, it's not going to happen, big boy. He said, come on outside, look up again. Get your eyes off of yourself. Get your eyes off of your mess ups. Get your eyes off of how other people have messed up. Get your eyes off of the delay of time. And he said, the deal's still on. I said, the deal's still on. And Word Life Church, he's speaking to someone today. The deal's still on. He's not done with you. He will yet bring it to pass. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know. You don't know how I messed up. You don't know, you know, how much time it's been. No, you don't know what He's done for you. You got to live. What are you seeing? Get your eyes off of you. Get your eyes off of your mess ups. Get your eyes off of what other people have done. You're not going to accomplish anything looking at them. When you stand before the Lord, you're not going to, those hypocrites that messed around with you, you're not going to be standing between you. The hypocrites are not going to be standing between you and God. And whatever you let stand between you and God is closer to God than you are. Put that in your right to have a hypocrite pipe and smoke it. What are you seeing? What are you seeing? God said, what I put in your heart, I will yet bring to pass. The deal's still on. Look at yourself now and say, you're talking to me. You're talking to me. Hallelujah, you're talking to me. Thank you, Jesus. The deal is still on. Amen. Hallelujah. What are you seeking and what are you seeing? You need to go back and brush the dust off the promise, the dream, the vision, the thing that God put in your heart, because He said He will yet bring it to pass. Amen? Hallelujah. Then number three, and I have the airport inside, so don't get nervous. What are you saying? What are you saying? Mark 11:23, the verse that Kenneth Hagin wrote. No, he quoted it a lot. He quoted it a few times. For surely I say to you, whoever says, everybody said say, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Everybody say, I will have what I say that God said I could have. But if I don't say what God said I can have, I won't have it. You got to say it, guys. You got to agree with it. Your words will bring forth your future. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. Whenever we speak what we see in the present, in the natural, we lock ourselves into, we just chain ourselves to the present. But when we spend time with God and hear what God says about our situation, then we agree with it, we believe it and agree with it, it moves us into our future. So we had a prodigal son. In fact, we've done filmed with Andrew's ministry, we finished filming Relationship University, and they did a film thing on us about how to believe for a prodigal. Does anybody here have a prodigal son or daughter or family member? Okay, and so my oldest son, from the time he's 2 years old, really younger, his first word was no. But when he's 3 years old in a grocery store, and Janice is carrying Michael around, and Brian wanted something, and if you drew a boundary, he's going to cross it. But he wanted something, and Janice finally had to tell him, "No, we can't." And he just threw a fit, so she swatted him. He ran, 3 years old, ran through the store and found the biggest man she could find. He could find with a big cowboy hat on, and he said, "My mama's trying to kill me." When Dr. Dobson wrote his book, A Strong-Willed Child, if he had met Brian, I promise you, he would have written 3 more chapters in his book. And by the time Brian was 15, I remember my daughter, Michelle, she was probably 8. She said, "Daddy, are you sure Brian's saved?" And we're pastoring, man. We're pastoring a church, and And I mean, Brian, from the time he's 15 to the time he's probably 23, he's out there. And especially when he turned 18, I mean, he's partying, he's doing all kinds of things with the world. And you know, man, he called me one night from jail. I shared it yesterday. But he called me one night from jail, and 12:30 at night, he said, "Dad, come pick me up." I said, "What happened?" He said, "I ran a stop sign." I said, "They didn't throw you in jail for running a stop sign." He said, "Well, I tried to outrun the police." And I said, "How'd that work for you, son?" And then the Holy Spirit told me, he said, "I'll tell him you'll see him in the morning." I let him have a night with the prisoners and think about consequences of a decision. Anyway, this guy was, I mean, he was born again, but he was doing his own thing. And so the enemy came to me a number of times. I'm getting to a point here, okay? With my son, I'm just telling you, we lived this. And my wife came to me one time. She said, "Now, honey, either this boy goes or I'm going." She told me that. I said, "Just give me some time with him." Anyway, so the devil would come to me and tell me. He said, "Look what your son's doing. You're a pastor and you're Christian, and he's doing this, he's doing this, he's doing this, he's doing this." Okay, I'm here's the point. I said, you know, the Bible says agree with your adversary quickly while he's in the way. I said, "Yeah, that's a fact, that's a fact, that's a fact, that's a fact, that's a fact. And by the way, you spent a lot of your time tempting him to do all those things. But while you're here, Mr. Devil, here, let me tell you the way it really is. Now, this is real spiritual warfare, my brother and sister. What I'm talking to you about right now, this is real spiritual warfare. Let me tell you right now, while you're here, accusing me right now, Mr. Devil, let me talk to you about the way it really is." And then I just started quoting the word, Isaiah 54:13. "My children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace." Psalm 127:5. "My children are going to speak with their enemies in the gate." And that means you're going to rue the day you ever came against my son, Mr. Devil. Then Proverbs 6, verse 22 says that the word that Janice and I have sown in him, it's going to lead him when he's roaming. It's going to keep him when he's sleeping, and it's going to talk to him while he's awake. Hallelujah. And he told me in this, he did this video thing and they filmed him. He said, "I couldn't enjoy sin." He said, "I was in a bar and this girl came and witnessed to me. And he said, "I kept hearing your voice, Dad." Hallelujah. And then 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5, God sends ministers to every man whereby they might believe. And I just said, we just sick the Holy Ghost on and witnesses to minister to him. He couldn't enjoy sin. And listen, we started, we were praying and believing, and then Janice was telling me in an event, one couple of things happened. One of my youngest son's coaches, who was also one of Brian's coaches, saw Brian one day when he was living all like that, and he said, "You know, I sure wish you were living the kind of life that your younger brother is, because he was a witness." And it made Brian jealous. And then I was pouring into a group of men and discipling them. And I said, I met with them weekly for 12 weeks. And I said, "My only assignment for you is to pray and go find somebody." And this one guy went after Brian, took him hunting, took him fishing, fed him food, witnessed to him, shared the gospel with him. And Brian, in 3 months' time, he totally turned around, came back in to the kingdom, found his wife, and now he's a great man of God, a leader in the kingdom. He's a leader in our family. He's a wonderful husband, wonderful father, and we're best friends today. Listen, guys, God will do that for me, he'll do that, and Janice, he'll do that for you. He's got a greater future for your family than that. What are you saying? Are you saying what you're seeing with your eyes? Are you saying what God says? Good word, Pastor Greg. Hallelujah. And then finally, we have landed, okay. What are you sowing? What are you sowing? Galatians 6. Let's look at that. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And, you know, we look at that. You can look at that in a negative sense. But really, it's a very positive thing. What are you sowing? If you're sowing good seeds, you're gonna reap good seeds. You know, you don't judge your day by the harvest you reap. Judge it by the seed you sow. We just heard that from Pastor Freddie. Are you hearing me? My pastor, Bob Nichols, taught me, sow where you want to go. That's real wisdom. And in verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we'll reap. Everybody say, we'll reap. If you don't faint, if you don't lose heart. Guys, we need to look into what is it you want to do? Where is it you want to go in life? If you want to start a business, go invest yourself in somebody that's doing a business like that. And then go serve as just be a grunt with them or something, an intern with them or an entry-level position, or if you want to, I mean, I've done this a lot in businesses that I've started. I've started about 7 businesses, and I would sit down with somebody who was successful in that, and I would pick their brain and buy them a meal or go to work for them. You know, what is it you want to do? What's God put in your heart? Find somebody who's doing it better and sow into them. Are you hearing me? Amen. What you make happen for somebody else, God will make happen for you. Okay, guys, how many of you want to move into your future? What are you seeking? Because you can't even begin to discover your future if you're just doing your own thing. What are you seeing? If you start seeking God, I promise you, here's the thing. Everybody look up here at me. If you're seeking God, because see, first part of my life, I was seeking money. I was obsessed with success, and I made a lot of money. But I didn't have money. Money had me. And I couldn't move into my future until I started seeking the Lord. And I'm not saying taking a vow of poverty. We're blessed, praise God. Okay? But I'm talking about if you seek the Lord, then you're going to start seeing what He says about you. Then what are you saying? And then where are you sowing? Are you hearing me? Now, Pastor Freddie said something earlier about, you know, if you're only going to give once, just give to Pastor Greg, but do not give me your tithe. I will give it back to you. No, I'll give it to the church. Are you hearing me? Don't give a ministry your tithe. Sow where you want to go. Amen. How many of you have a prodigal son or daughter? I want to agree with you. Stand up. Let me agree with you. Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, I encourage you, get the CD so you can get the scriptures. Because stand on the word that Janice and I stood on. God can give you other scriptures. Okay, it was Isaiah 54:13 and Psalm 127:5. And man, Proverbs 6:22. Man, go for that one. Amen. And in 1 Corinthians 3:5. Father, in the name of Jesus, I agree with everyone standing. Father, I agree. Lord, your heart is touched with their heart for their sons, their daughters, their family members. We call them out of darkness, Father. We call them into the light. We declare your word is speaking to them while they're walking. It's leading them, Father. When they're roaming, it's keeping them when they're sleeping. And Lord, you are sending laborers to them. In Jesus' name, you're sending laborers to them that will speak the truth in love, whereby they might believe. We see them out of darkness. We see them walking in the light. We see them serving God. Father, one moment in your presence can undo years of the work of the enemy in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Give God praise for that. Amen. Praise the Lord.